Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. There's just one more game to go in the 2018-19 season, and it's set to be a party atmosphere at the Maneski Stadium on Sunday as Reading welcome Birmingham City. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by the editor of the Tarlehurst End, Simeon Pickup. How's it going, Sim?
I'm very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I am very well indeed. Looking forward to Sunday. As I say, it's set to be a great atmosphere, nice weather. Portugal Day for Jose Gomes as well, and Club 1871 set to be sold out for the first time, which is also a fantastic achievement from them. Just an all-round celebration, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be going into a game with, looking forward to it for all the right reasons for a change. No kind of pressure of a relegation fight hanging over our heads, and a lot of really positive stuff going on around the club at the moment. Thinking about the Portugal Day, obviously, and Club 1871 packing it out. Massive credit to them for achieving that. But hopefully we can really kind of see out the season on a high, which was something that we wouldn't have dreamed of a couple of months ago when we were down in the relegation zone and really looking at League One as a real possibility. But now we can go into the last game of the season, really enjoy it, and hopefully give John O'Shea a good send-off as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it might sound odd to perhaps people who haven't followed Reading's campaign, you know, that closely this season. I think it's been a difficult year for much of it. I think, you know, we can't finish any higher than 18th this season, you know. So you might ask what there is to celebrate. But I think, you know, you mentioned it there. I mean, the spirit and the fight, you know, that these players have shown in recent weeks, you know, to get these vital points to keep us up, and, you know, the transformation that's occurred under Jose Gomes, you know, it'd just be nice, you know, sort of to show thanks for that in a way, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. What I find really interesting, though, is that just how different the mood is this time compared to this time last year. We're probably going to finish in pretty much exactly the same position, 20th, staying up without too much pressure on the last day, because obviously managed it by a few points this time last season. But the mood is so completely different. The impact that Jose Gomes has made kind of all around the club, both on the team and the fans as well, compared to Paul Clement having a kind of impact at the club, but it was essentially continuity, to be honest, for those 8 games. It just felt like there wasn't a real kind of big positive boost to the club. There wasn't that real injection of optimism. And if you look at the last home game of that season, the Ipswich match, which I barely bring myself to remind everyone of, but compare that to the mood we're expecting on Sunday against Birmingham City, and it's a completely different club. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, that 4-0 defeat to Ipswich, I think, won our worst moment of 2018 in the Christmas podcast last year. And I think, you know, we'll obviously have the lap of appreciation that they always do after the final home game. Obviously, last year, there were probably only about 100 people left for that. After the Ipswich defeat, I think, you know, I was one of them. I always like to stage it just to show appreciation, you know, for some of the players who sort of do care, even though there weren't that many last year. But, you know, we were sort of waiting for, I think, at least half an hour, 45 minutes for those players to come back out last year. I think they were sort of in two minds about whether they really felt like coming back out. But, yeah, there were no more than 100 people there last year. I think it'll be very, very different on Sunday. You know, set to be a packed out stadium. I'm sure, you know, majority of people, you know, unless they've got other commitments in the afternoon, they'll probably stay and show their appreciation for these players, because they do, you know, fully deserve the courage and the fight and the spirit that they've showed over the last couple of months. It's just been superb. But results wise, Sim, you know, how important, you know, is sort of getting the win in this game to you? I think, you know, I think some people suggest that, you know, sort of it's quite important to get that win, you know, to sort of end the season on the high and sort of carry, you know, some sort of momentum going into the summer and sort of going into the next season. You know, do you sort of believe that way of thinking, or is it more a case, you know, that there is going to be quite a fair amount of change at the club in the next few months? It doesn't really, you know, affect sort of what happens on Sunday.
I don't think the result really matters too much. I mean, if we scrape a scrappy 1-0, then that might look good on paper, but it doesn't really help us too much going forwards. What we really want is essentially a performance that really shows off what Reading have been able to achieve under Jose Gomez so far, and hopefully a kind of a taste of things to come in the future. We want a really spirited performance, hopefully a bit of entertainment and some good attacking play, and hopefully a few goals. But if we were to, say, lose having scored once or twice ourselves, but playing really good football and really putting in that spirited performance, then I wouldn't be too unhappy with that. What I will be annoyed by is if the players turn up, essentially act like they're already on the beach, don't really put in too much effort, and the season goes out in a whimper because of that. What I would really like us to do is really kind of basically just give it our all, essentially, on Sunday, and give the fans something to cheer about, because one of the things that's really kind of got me over the last couple of months is just how positive, just how energetic and loud the home crowd can be when the team's really giving it their all, when they're really kind of playing some good football and showing what they're capable of, essentially. And if we can have essentially a party atmosphere on Sunday, kicked on by some good attacking football, then hopefully that will set us up nicely for the summer.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be a much more entertaining affair than that drab 0-0 draw that we ended last year with at Cardiff. That was probably one of the worst games, but it's probably up there with the playoff final as one of the most boring games that I've ever seen. And obviously that it was a point that kept us up and obviously got Cardiff promoted, but it was just the most god-awful game ever. But Jose Gomez has been speaking ahead of this Birmingham game, and he is keen to finish with a win.
Yeah, it will be very important, in my opinion, even for the way that we start the next season. So everything has connections, even if you don't realize in the beginning, but we can find connections between everything in football. So I believe that we will play a very good game, try to show a good football and let the fans enjoy the way that we are playing.
Let's take a closer look into Birmingham then, who sits 17th in the table going into this game, 5 points ahead of Reading in 20th. They, of course, have that 9 points deduction early in the campaign. I think without that, they would be 14th. On 60 points, so very much a mid-table campaign for them. They are actually unbeaten in 6 games going into this match, with 2 wins and 4 draws, and draws have very much been a theme of their season this year. 18 in total for them. Only Stoke have had more in the Championship this season. You know, so they are quite hard to beat. Sim, I think, obviously, you know, with that strike pairing of Lukas Jukovic and Shai Adams, they've got 36 goals between them this season, which I think is considerably over half of their goals. You know, they're certainly a constant threat. I mean, what sort of challenge are you expecting from Birmingham at the weekend?
Really tough one, to be fair. Gary Monk, I must not get my Garys confused. I do apologise to the people of Birmingham. Gary Monk has done a really good job at Birmingham. He's really got them on the right track, to be honest, because you look back over the last couple of years, they've had some interesting managerial choices. I remember them bringing in, was it Zola, a couple of seasons ago, getting rid of Gary Rowett, Gary in this case, and they just seemed to kind of go all over until Gary Monk stabilised them last season.
Harry Redknapp as well was doing his wheeling and dealing up there as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's felt like an unstable club, basically, over the last couple of seasons, very similar to Reading in quite a few ways. But Gary Monk has really united them, really got them playing some good football. And I think if you take that 9-point deduction out, they'd be squarely in mid-table and looking more towards the top 6 than towards the bottom 3. And particularly with some really good players like Lukas Jukovic, a name that I never like having to type out and spell properly. Shai Adams, much more easy to spell, luckily. When you've got good players like that, basically, you can cause some damage in this division, and getting that massive goal haul that you mentioned earlier really pays tribute to that. If they can keep hold of both of those players, then they could very well be looking at the top 6 next season. Maybe if they can't keep them, they're going to struggle a little bit more, but fair play to Gary Monk for doing a really good job over there over the last couple of seasons, and perhaps we'll be looking at them as dark horses next season.
Well, we'll hear from Gabriel Sutton, the Birmingham fan, in just a minute. But he's actually an advocate of sort of selling Chairlands in the summer to potentially try and raise some funds. But so listen out for that interview from Tannend in just a minute. But yeah, Birmingham play a 4-4-2 formation that you don't often see in football these days. I think, you know, a lot of it is sort of 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. But yeah, they play 4-4-2 or sort of 4-2-2-2. In a way, sort of utilise the threat of both Jukovic and Adams. I think, you know, in terms of a style of play, I think, you know, the stats suggest that they'll sort of be happy for Reading to have majority of possession. Birmingham have the second lowest average possession per game in the Championship this season, and also the second fewest number of short passes. I mean, does that make, you know, this game, you know, sort of perhaps quite an important one in many ways for Gomez? It might, you know, it might be a bit of an opportunity perhaps, you know, for him to sort of experiment, you know, with his position style of play, you know, without much worry of what the consequences might be.
Well, it's something he'd moved away from quite a lot recently, to be honest. I think we went on quite a long run of games kind of looking at the I think the Ipswich game onwards, that kind of time with Reading not having more possession than the opposition. Very much an obvious, clear, deliberate choice to not try and keep the ball and dominate matches with possession, but use counterattacks more and be a lot more pragmatic, basically. And fair enough, that's really helped us so far this season. But Jose Gomez is obviously going to want to bring it back properly next season. He's got a good chance to really kind of instill it in the team over the course of the summer. I guess there's a good chance he's going to try and use it on Sunday, give us a bit of a taste of what's to come. But I think what kind of jumps out at me a little bit is Gary Monk's relationship with Reading and possession football over the last couple of years when he had did a pretty good job at Leeds, to be honest. I know they missed out on the playoffs quite narrowly in that season that we got to third, but he did a good job with them, to be fair, and they didn't need the ball too much that season. There was that game up at Elland Road where we think we had something like 70-80% of the ball and couldn't get through them, couldn't open them up and score any goals, and they came away with a 2-0 win. So I wouldn't be too surprised if he went for something similar this time round, if he tried to get Birmingham to be a lot more pragmatic, stay behind the ball and let us have possession and try and break them down. So perhaps that's something to look forward to on Sunday.
Indeed, we didn't hear the end of that from Leeds fans until we beat them 1-0 back at our place. I think for a couple of months, you know, they were keeping on going about that possession started playing. You know, obviously, I suppose in the end, it didn't really work out for us either. But it is now time to find out a bit more about Birmingham then, as for the final time this season, we head into The View from the Town End.
The View from the Town End. What do your position think?
Right then, View from the Town End time now, and with Reading hosting Birmingham on Sunday, I'm joined by Blues fan Gabriel Sutton from the Football Lab. How's it going, Gabriel?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. How are you, Ollie?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Obviously, we're right at the end of the campaign now, just one more game to go in the Championship. And can you give me a brief overview of how the campaign's gone for Birmingham so far? Obviously, you're 17th in the table. I think you could go one place up or one place down, depending on Sunday's results. You've had that 9-point deduction as well. But how's the season been for you guys overall?
Well, I think all things considered, it's been a pretty positive campaign. I think the first thing you got to look at is three of the last five seasons we've been going into the final day fearing for the possibility of relegation. Obviously, that's not happening, and we secured safety very early, even considering the 9-point deduction. There was the transfer embargo to worry about as well. Obviously, only bringing Christian Pedersen in wasn't really much sort of room to manoeuvre in terms of improving the squad that was struggling last season. So really what Gary Monk has done is he's improved individuals and we're performing to a much higher standard. And, you know, yes, there was a little bit of a wobble sort of around February time when players were out of the question, but actually once the 9-point deduction was handed over, you know, we saw that sense of that kind of battling spirit back sort of around April time, went on a long unbeaten run. I think we still are. Beat Leeds as well. So I think in terms of the commitment to the group, I think it's really impressive. And I just hope that the situation at boardroom level will be enough to allow a bit more progression next season.
Yep, six games unbeaten at the moment. I think it's only currently beaten by Villa and Norwich, I think, in terms of current unbeaten runs. But what were your expectations like coming into the start of the campaign? Have they sort of been met this season?
I think so, yeah. I don't think it would have been realistic to have expected a playoff push. I mean, we did sort of look like we were sort of on the outside of the playoffs for a long part of the season, but I don't think that was necessarily... That was more of a hope rather than an expectation. So I think the aim was always for the season sort of gradual progression. I think based on the standard of the performances that's been achieved. I mean, even in the winless run we had over August and September, some of the performances over that period was very, very strong. So I think we met the expectations that we set in August.
This has been Gary Monk's first full campaign as manager. I think he took over sort of last March, I think it was. I mean, how do you rate the job that he's done so far this season? What sort of style of play has he implemented within the squad?
Well, in terms of the style of play, I think it's been very high intensity. There's kind of a 4-2-2-2 setup where you have the kind of the two strikers and the sort of two wide men that kind of come inside. So we've often had Jota, who's left-footed on the right, Magema, who's right-footed on the left, and they're kind of coming inside to support Djukovic and Jay Adams. I think we're at our best when we play at a really high intensity. Obviously, Kiefton Belt was a big part of that. Unfortunately, he's been injured, but in terms of the way we press, that's been the real sort of strength. The other thing I'd say though about Gary Monk is that I think he's brought, him and Pep Clitette have brought a real Premier League professionalism to the club in terms of their work that they do kind of behind the scenes. And the other thing I'd say is he does the PR side of the job very well. So when you see him on Twitter, he'll quite often use the Carraro Keep Right On hashtag. Which I think sort of subtly sends the message, I'm one of you sort of thing, which I always felt with one or two of his predecessors, when they spoke or when they handled the media, they were sort of saying the first thing that came into their head rather than how am I coming across to the supporters. And I think Gary Monk has sort of managed that side of the job. Probably the size of that aspect of the job is possibly a bit underrated sometimes. He's done that really well.
In terms of players for Birmingham, obviously, you know, you look at the two key ones being Djukovic and Che Adams. You know, how key have those two been for the season, for you this season, obviously, and who else should Reading fans look out for at the weekend?
Well, you're right to mention Djukovic and Adams. I think Djukovic, although a lot of his goals sort of came kind of in the September to October, November kind of period, so that he was kind of having that sort of purple patch. He's the type of striker that can have a very good game without scoring because he does so much in terms of winning the aerial duels, holding the ball up for other players and kind of bringing everyone into play. And I think in that sort of side of things, he's been absolutely vital because I don't think there's a direct replacement for Djukovic. I mean, against Millwall a few weeks ago, he was given a rest and we had Vassell and Adams. It didn't really work because we didn't have someone to get to those aerial balls. So Djukovic has been massive. And then, of course, you got Che Adams in terms of his pace, running in behind, willingness to pressurise defenders. Yeah, I've been really impressed with Adams this season. And he's produced some really instinctive finishes as well. And I suppose that's reflected in his goal return.
Do you think he'll still be at the club next season? Obviously, there's been rumours about sort of Premier League interest. I mean, how hopeful are you of keeping him this summer?
I actually hope Blues sell Adams for a reasonable fee. I think that there's other areas of the squad that need strengthening. I think in terms of the goalkeeping position, I think there's improvements needed. I think Morrison, I don't think, has necessarily been performing to the same level he was 2 or 3 years earlier. So I think that's possibly an area to address. I think the midfield with Kiefton Bell's long-term injury needs someone who can be a bit of a ball player as well in that midfield. So there's a lot of areas of the squad to look at. And what I would say is I'd be quite happy for the club to sell Adams for a hefty fee. I think Premier League clubs will be interested in him, and then reinvest sensibly, a little bit like Norwich did last summer, and sort of improve other areas of the squad. I'd be hopeful if Adams left that maybe Isaac Vassell could step up, or maybe if we gambled on a lower league striker, that might sort of do the business. So although Adams has been a huge part of a productive season for Blues, I do think that now would be the time to cash in.
I was going to mention the Norwich example, actually. Obviously, Jones Madison and Josh Murphy both leaving that club last summer. Obviously, them doing very well with the money they brought in. And it has been a bit of a discussion point amongst Reading fans as well. I think, you know, the likes of Liam Moore and John Swift have sort of attracted, you know, higher clubs' attention. There has been a sort of a discussion whether, you know, we should cash in and sort of try and invest in other areas of the squad. I mean, speaking of Reading, Gabriel, have you seen much of us this season? What sort of challenge are you expecting on Sunday?
Well, it's quite an interesting one for me. I mean, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this. I kind of, if I look at what a lot of Reading fans are saying on Twitter or on social media, I think there's a hell of a lot of optimism in terms of what Jose Gomez is doing. And clearly there's a lot that's striking a chord with Reading fans in terms of what he says off the field, in terms of the way he sort of conducts himself. I do, though, I am quite a big believer in expected goals. I know that divides opinion now and again, and I would have to say that Reading's rating isn't necessarily the most convincing. I mean, I know you've had a couple of good performances at home recently, so I'm not sure what sort of situation Reading are in going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the mood has been lifted massively since Gomez has come in. I think certainly it is looking a lot brighter, I think, for the future. I think the main concern for us is probably sort of the financial side of things going into the summer. I think both Gomez and the CEO, Nigel Howe, have both spoken about sort of the financial restraints and trying to stick to FFP in the summer. I think especially, you know, we'll be losing the five loanees that we've had, you know, they've been key in the second half of the season in terms of Martinez and Miazga, Lewis Bacon, Nelson Oliveira, Ovi Ajayi, all going back to their parent clubs. I think it's more a case, you know, if we can spend that money wisely in the summer, I think, you know, we might have to. I think I've spoken about it quite recently, and sort of, you know, if we can try and follow that Norwich model, I think we're going to have to try and get hopefully some Portuguese gems from sort of Gomez using his experience sort of from the Portuguese league and using that knowledge, and because, you know, players in the Football League are, you know, always going to be more expensive signing from other Championship clubs. So I think certainly the mood is a lot higher than it was under Paul Clement. I think if you asked a lot of fans under Clement, you know, they would have said that they thought we would go down this season, but since Gomez has come in, he's certainly lifted the mood around the place. But I think for me, I think it just sort of rests in the balance in terms of what happens this summer. Finally then, Gabriel, can I get a score prediction for you for Sunday's game?
I'm going to go optimistic with a 2-1 Blues win. I think that Lukas Jukovic and Che Adams will score.
I'm actually going to go for a 2-1 Reading win. I'm hopeful that we can end the campaign with a win. But just looking ahead to next season briefly, I mean, what are your hopes in terms of, you know, where you think Birmingham can go next year?
Well, a lot depends on the budget that's going to be freed up for Gary Monk. I mean, I think he's the type of manager that can get the best out of his resources. And I think it's been a while where we've had sort of a good manager with a reasonable budget simultaneously. I mean, a lot of the time it's when we've had good managers, they've had their hands tied. And when we've had a lot of money, it's not been necessarily spent for the best managers. So I'm hoping that the purse strings will be loosened slightly for Gary Monk. I think there's a kind of stability there in terms of the consistency of first 11 that I wouldn't want to lose. I think it's just making one or two sort of tweaks to that in the positions I mentioned earlier. So I think a lot will depend on whether the funds will be there to sort of go and add sort of two or three sort of quality signings in those key positions. So with that in mind, I think pushing for a top half, top 10 finish would be the target. And I think with Gary Monk's ability to really maximise his resources, I would say that's attainable.
Yeah, I think that sounds quite similar to Reading, actually. I think in terms of, you know, whether the funds are going to be available, but the base is certainly there with a good manager in both teams. I mean, I've always rated Gary Monk quite well. I think he did a good job at Swansea, and obviously perhaps it wasn't quite the right fit for him either at Leeds or at Middlesbrough, but he's seemingly doing quite well at Birmingham. But my thanks then to you, Gabriel, for joining me on The View from the Town End. I'm sure we'll speak again next season.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview, looking ahead to Reading versus Birmingham City. Injuries weren't really touched upon at Jose Gomez's press conference on Wednesday, but I don't believe there are any fresh concerns since the Middlesbrough game. And we'll see Mo Barrow missed that one through illness, but we do expect him to be back on Sunday. Said Eztalahi and Liam Kelly were also both back in the squad for that one for the first time in a long while, so we could potentially see them feature potentially, you know, both of their final games for the club, obviously with Eztalahi going back to Rostov and Liam Kelly potentially leaving the summer with his opportunities not that great at the moment. Obviously, Sam Baldock as well made his first start last weekend after turning to fitness, so we might well see him in contention to start as well. Yaku Mate, John Swift and Nelson Oliveira all unavailable, of course, through injury, although Oliveira does seem to be doing his rehab at the moment at Reading, which perhaps is slightly promising looking ahead to the summer. But Sim, it is the final game of the season. How would you like to see Reading line up for this one?
Not too different, actually, to be honest, to the usual team that we have. So I went Martinez in goal, back four of Yeardom, Moore, Gunter and O'Shea, actually, at centre-half. I'll speak more on him in a little bit. Rinham, Hota and Baker as a midfield too, in more of kind of like the 4-2-3-1 that Gomez started off with. I'd have Loader perhaps in a... Sorry, change that 4-2-3-1 to more of a 4-3-3. I haven't thought this through properly. Unprofessional joke of a podcast.
I was about to say the exact same, indeed, yeah.
Exactly. A midfield three of Lewis Baker, Rinham Hota and Josh Barrett. I'd like to see Josh Barrett get a start at the Medeski Stadium in front of his own. Pretty promising up at Middlesbrough, to be honest. I thought he was inventive. He was really confident on the ball and I'd like to see him given a go in a central creative role in a midfield three against Birmingham City, and hopefully he can come up with something good there. I believe, actually, quick side note, his first appearance for Reading was the last home game of a season. I think it was Preston.
Was it back in 2016, was it?
One of Brian McDermott's last games in his second spell in charge. Yes. But yeah, hopefully Barrett gets a start and hopefully gets a good amount of minutes under his belt, which would be good because I noticed he was put forward to the media this week by the club, which is perhaps a sign that he's particularly
he spoke very well, actually. I think listening to that interview, he spoke very well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great to see because you don't put a player forward for an interview, even if it's a short thing on video, if you don't think they're ready to take that little bit of limelight on. And perhaps it's a little bit of a teaser that he's going to either start or get an extended substitute appearance on Sunday. Which brings me back to my front three, not a front one, as I said earlier, I'm a professional joke of a podcast. My front three of Sam Baldock, Danny Loader and Modu Barrow. Obviously great to have him inside. He's one of our more creative players. Says it all if we can get him back from illness for this game. Baldock, I thought, did a pretty good job up at Middlesbrough in the opening spells as someone who could do the hard work and hold the ball up. Faded as the game went on and as the ball went into him less. He obviously looked less influential, but hopefully give him another game, give him another start and he can get that little bit more sharpness and impact on a match, having been out injured for so long. And Danny Loader as well, obviously had a really good goal up at Middlesbrough and it makes sense to let him build on that confidence. If you take him out of the side or rest him on Sunday, I think it risks missing an opportunity to build on that bit of confidence. If he can get another goal on Sunday, score 2-2, then he's in a really good position going into the summer. He's great on confidence and really to build next season. But obviously that's something that Gomez has got to work out. Going back to John O'Shea at centre-half, I'd really love to see him get a proper send-off on Sunday. He's had a great career and by all accounts, he's very highly regarded by everyone at the club. Jose Gomez was very positive about him in his in his press conference this week, and obviously other players at the club have been very thankful to John O'Shea and his impact at the club over the last year. Even though he's not played a huge amount this season, he's still had a good influence all around. And hopefully, if we can give him a start on Sunday, it gives us the opportunity to bring him off after 60 minutes or so, give him a big standing ovation from everyone at the stadium, a really nice moment, and perhaps replace him with Tom McIntyre as a nice little symbolic passing over of one generation.
Changing of the guard in many ways.
Exactly, yeah. Handing over to the future of the club, Tom McIntyre, who I think has certainly got a big future at this club, very talented defender, and to essentially have him replace John O'Shea as John O'Shea bows out, I thought would be a really nice touch and a good PR win for the club, essentially, to put it like that.
They've done a lot well on the PR front in recent weeks, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if that was the case. I mean, you only need to look at sort of the tributes and the words, you know, put on social media by, you know, not just Reading players this season, but, you know, players that O'Shea has played with throughout his career, you know, to see, you know, just what a well-respected figure he has been within the game, you know, won everything there is to win. So it would be good to see him get some off at the weekend. I mean, there's been some suggestions saying that he might stay on in a coaching capacity. I think, obviously, you know, that was the plan when Paul Clement signed him last summer. It was a bit up in the air when Gomez has come in. But I think Gomez has said this week that, you know, he hopes O'Shea will stay on. I mean, how important would that be?
I think it'd be great. Something that I wrote about on Thursday, actually. I think it's a really missed opportunity if Reading don't go for John O'Shea. I think Jose Gomez suggested that he would like O'Shea to stay on if it's possible, but obviously O'Shea might have different ideas. He might have offers from, simply put, bigger clubs than Reading. And if he does, then I really wouldn't be surprised to see him to see him go elsewhere and start his coaching career there. But Reading are going into the summer with essentially the need to really rejig our squad and bring through a lot of young players. And that's going to need as good coaching as possible. And having someone as experienced as John O'Shea to come in and give them a guiding hand throughout the first stage of their career would be a really big boost for them. And if they can learn some lessons from a guy who's been there, done it, and won pretty much everything, then that'd be great for him. Great for them, rather. And from the club's point of view, overall, we've got someone who's been working with Sir Alex Ferguson for so much of his career, and obviously he's going to have learned a lot from that. And if he can bring that to the club, to Jose Gomez's staff behind the scenes, then hopefully that will help the club all around.
I mean, the way the rumours are going at the moment, you might well see him linked with the sporting director's job at United, which seems to, I think, every sort of former player has been linked with that role at the moment. But just going back then to the lineup, I'd go for a largely similar setup. I'd also have Martinez in goal, a back four of Gunter, Moore, Miazga, and Yeardon for me. I think I'll touch on McIntyre in just a minute. And also, I would agree with that. I'd like to see John O'Shea given a bit of a send off. I think it'd be nice to see him at some point. Then I'd go with Andy Rinomota. I'd give Liam Kelly a last chance, perhaps, in that midfield and see what he can do. Obviously, he was back on the bench against Middlesbrough, perhaps, you know, one last opportunity for him to impress Jose Gomez. Lewis Baker, I'd then sort of push forward into that attacking midfield position with Callum Harriott and Gareth McCleary either side of him, and then Danny Loader up front, as you say, hopefully can add to his goal last week and get one in front of the Manstad crowd. Certainly when I was thinking about this, you know, I did sort of want to put in a couple of the youngsters in there, perhaps Josh Barrett into the side like you've done, Sim, and obviously Tom McIntyre as well, and it'd be nice to see him make his first home appearance as well. I think that's something that Isaac and I discussed on this show last week. I think at the same time, you know, that there is the Bucks and Bucks Cup final being held 24 hours later on Bank Holiday Monday, which the under-23s are, of course, in. I think at the time of recording, their opponents are still yet to be confirmed between Slough Town and Marlow. That debacle is still going on less than three or four days now but before the final. But in terms of, you know, what do you prioritise in this scenario? So obviously, you know, I think Reading are definitely in a fortunate place, you know, in the fact that they can experiment in this game against Birmingham and sort of give youngsters a chance, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's certainly a massive opportunity for them to lift some silverware on Monday. I mean, there is, of course, that famous story of Mark Hughes playing two games in one day for Wales and Bayern Munich, I think it was, 30 years ago. I mean, so I suppose perhaps you wouldn't rule out someone like McIntyre, you know, sort of playing 20 minutes on Sunday and sort of being okay for the Monday game as well.
Yeah, I think you could certainly see them playing a part in both games, obviously not starting both of them, or probably not starting both of them. But yeah, I'd prioritise the Birmingham game, to be honest, because it's going to be such a big occasion for the club, because it's going to be so optimistic, the feeling around the whole stadium. It's going to be a really good opportunity to get players into that side and really give them a taste of the first team going forward, essentially really get them introduced to the stadium and to the fans and build up that relationship a lot more. If you play Josh Barrett and he gets an assist or gets a goal or something, or Tom McIntyre puts in a good defensive performance, and it really gives them confidence that they can go on and succeed later on in their career, and it's a really good learning curve for them, basically. If you do play them against whoever we're playing on Monday in the Barks and Bucks Cup final, it's going to be a good feeling if they can lift some silverware. But on the whole, I don't think the challenge on league side, with all due respect to whoever it is we're playing on Monday, it's not quite the same as going up against a Championship side. They're not really going to learn anything on a pitch from going up against teams like this. And they've already played some decent non-league sides already in the Barks and Bucks Cup. I remember McIntyre and Barrett playing against Maidenhead. Both of them did pretty well, I think. Barrett in particular, who looked very confident, and they show that there's no problem with them mixing it with that kind of opposition. But there's not really any more that they can learn from it, for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly nothing like senior football, you know, sort of to give you that experience, you know, going into the future. And I think it will be interesting to see. I think obviously, you know, we've seen Gomez hasn't been afraid to throw youngsters into the mix. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. Someone who I've gone for in my team, as I say, is Callum Harriott, who is out of contract in the summer. You know, so this could be his last chance to impress Jose Gomez. I mean, he obviously returned from that two-year-long injury. Callum Harriott, I think, returned on New Year's Day against Swansea. Scored that late consolation goal, but he's not had the greatest impact since. I mean, I think he's had just two starts and nine sub appearances in his past couple of months. I think, you know, personally, I don't think he's a bad option to have around. I mean, he's certainly not, you know, he's probably not good enough to start for Reading, but I think I'd probably, you know, just about give him a new deal. I think perhaps maybe 1 year, sort of see how he gets on. I mean, how do you rate his performances, Sim, in the last sort of 4 months or so? I mean, would you keep him at the club?
I think he's been fine, to be honest, over the last couple of months, but that's not necessarily a good thing. I don't want to be too harsh on him, because obviously he spent a lot of time on the sidelines being injured, and that really knocks a player back in terms of their confidence and their belief for them to be out of the game for so long. And it's naturally not going to be easy to come back in and have a big impact on the side. But Harriott's been okay in the team. I can't really see him. I haven't really seen him do too much in any game, to be honest, in terms of really making an impact. I know he got that goal against Swansea, and fair enough, but since then you really want him to kick on and get starts and really have an impact on games, and there's been a lot of opportunities for him to do that. It was only fairly late on that Reading kind of settled on their wide options in Maitey and Barrow. I think about the time of the Wigan game and the Ipswich game onwards, there were certainly plenty of opportunities for Harriott to get out on that pitch and start quite regularly. And for me, the fact that he didn't suggests that there's not really the intention from Gomez to play him quite regularly. There's not the intention to keep him around beyond the summer. And perhaps Reading are planning for life without him. I think if you compare him to someone like Elise or Barrett, who play in broadly similar positions, I know Barrett is not really quite the conventional winger in the same way that Harriott is, but I don't see them offering too much less than Harriott, to be honest. And they're coming through the academy. They're naturally going to be cheaper, as that cheaper in terms of wages, because they're younger and aren't in quite the same stage of their career as Harriet, but if you can have those kind of players around the squad, kind of giving you that extra option, whether it's on the bench or in the squad more generally, then that gives us a lot more value for money going forwards, and that's going to be really important in the summer and going forwards as we try to balance the books properly. We can't afford to have someone like Harriet on the books kind of padding out the squad. With all due respect to Harriet, we need better than that. We need better value for money than that.
Well, Harriet, I think, is one of five senior players out of contract this summer, I think, along with Ansi Iacola, Paul McShane, Danzel Gravenberch, definitely won't be getting his contract renewed, and Joey Vandenberg as well, I don't think wants his contract renewed. So those five are the ones that are out of contract. We'll have a piece up on the site next week asking you to decide whether you would keep any of those. I suspect probably only one or two, if any at all. But prediction time then. Sim, for the final game of this season against Birmingham, how do you see it panning out?
Well, I don't have the best memory, to be honest, of playing Birmingham at home on the last day of the season. It was about 10 years ago we had that really disappointing day when we could have gone up automatically and obviously lost on the day and didn't quite get it. And because of that, I'm naturally not too optimistic, particularly in these kind of big games at Reading tend to fluff their lines in, to be honest. I look back at the Burton game as well for the 500th match of the Medeski, and we didn't turn up that day. I've got a bad feeling that we're going to have a repeat of that. I know you love pointing out that I'm always over-optimistic in my match predictions, so I'm going to go uncharacteristically negative on this occasion and say a 2-1 defeat for Reading.
That is indeed a surprise, it has to be said. I mean, yeah, 10 years ago, that's gone incredibly quickly, that 2-1 defeat at the Mazdad 10 years ago. I thought that, I mean, I would much rather be in the position that Reading were in then than they are in now. But I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Reading, actually. I think, obviously, I'm still trying to go for the title in the prediction league. So hopefully I can pull off the 3 points and get this one spot on. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Reading. On Monday, we will find out who has come out on top in the prediction league, as that is all wrapped up in our end of season special hosted by Mark Merrow, with a full look back at the 2018-19 campaign that was, where it went wrong, where it went right, and then a look ahead to the summer and the transfers and players out of contract and all that jazz. So do keep an eye out for that in your podcast feeds. Also check out the website, thetylerstone.com, for all our written preview content to this Birmingham game, and also in the next few weeks. And we'll have loads of post-season content for you as well, including our Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year vote. And do make sure to visit it, of course, across the summer as well, and the social and the social media pages as well. There's always plenty of content on there. This is, of course, though, the final weekend preview show of the season. So thank you to everyone that's downloaded and listened throughout the campaign. Hopefully, you've enjoyed sort of this new format of getting an opposition fan onto the show and sort of making it much more preview-based. Rather than crossing over sort of too much with the main show, there will be an opportunity, I think, soon to sort of leave your thoughts on the show when we open up our end of season survey. So do look out for that one. Sim, thank you to you as well. Obviously, I think you were here for the first two of these shows at the start of the season. I think you've been here for three of the final four. So you've sort of bookended the campaign rather nicely.
I feel honoured, to be honest. Great to be on.
No worries at all. And of course, all that's left for me to say then is have a great summer to everyone listening. Thank you once again for tuning in throughout the campaign, and come on, you Oz.
The Tylehurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.